Good morning, Lord. Good morning, Lord. Today is a special day worth living.
Bishop Haralambos is a Greek Orthodox bishop whose ordination name translates from the Greek to be happy light.
Good morning and God bless you. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Oh, you Christians out there, do you realize that the Lord showed the apostles and who were his disciples, because it says in the presence of his disciples, are not written in the Word of God? So where does everyone think and believe that the Holy Spirit can't operate outside of you interpretive Christians and evangelicals out there that totally depend on Scripture, and yet Christ himself at his time, it says, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. But the Lord said something directly to Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. In other words, if you see the Lord and you read Scripture, it's the same equality, Frank, that if Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed, blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Mm-hmm. So let's equate that with the subject matter today, this Sunday. And for you listeners out there, I really want you to listen attentively, because I think you're going to find this extremely, extremely interesting. Because we can speak about things which are not written in Scripture, and so you have no rebuttal to what we're saying, if indeed it comes from the Holy Spirit. And because Thomas, who did not believe until he could reach his finger and behold his hands and reach hither his hand and thrust it into my side and be not faithless but believing, and Thomas answered and said to him, finally, my Lord and my God. Now, aren't we in the same kind of a situation now? Because if things that are happening with Christ behind them and God behind them, but they're not written in the book of Christ, book of Holy Scripture, because he did things that were not written, and that should equate, if I'm making myself clear today, that the things that are not written are the actions and things that happened that Christ was behind, which the same today as yesterday, that things could be happening now that are not written. And if we bring them forth through this program and many, many other prophetic anointed programs, you listeners could be getting things that if you try to say, well, that's not in Scripture, I don't believe that, you can't discount the Holy Spirit. What do you think about that, Frank?
Well, it says, I think, in addition to that, that if all things are written, the world couldn't contain it. So obviously the world needs to know by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I guess many people are in the situation of Thomas, a non-believer becoming a believer by utilizing the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and the power within.
So let's balance this out. Blessed are they, if you read the Beatitudes, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Well, now, why do we have this blinky-eye Christianity going on in huge increasing numbers? Because this always seems to be the ones that attract are the feel-gooders. The feel-gooder preachers, that all they talk about is bless America, bless, you're always blessed, positive, positive, positive. And that's not so. In other words, can we not expect and have to endure persecutions for Christ?
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to always saying over here, we must have a blessing, and you know, and we always measure whether we're in Christ to the extent, are these blessings, do they show? Because in the Beatitudes, as he spoke to him, he said also, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing gain. And he also said what? He also said that woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you. So that doesn't make you a non-Christian. For so did their fathers to the false prophets. And then he goes on to say, But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies and do good to them which hate you. But my real point is, if you feel like an outcast, let's go to Romans. Very interesting passage in Romans. It's probably one of my favorites, and I like to read it. I like to read it because it really does touch on infirmities when we have pains and aches, which I've just experienced, probably the worst pain I've had in my life for a whole week. Mm-hmm. Am I to think, well, I'm being punished by God? No. I've learned something as almost a beginner Christian. Here I am, a bishop, and I'm learning things, and Christ is really teaching me. He's taking me to a level now, another level. It seems like a level above the level I was before, and I had to undergo these things to try to understand something, that the martyrs of old, they had to go to that level too in order to be martyred, and they all got martyred for Christ. But we seem to think in this century that there's no such thing. It's all blessings.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you give to my ministry and it publicly and on television increases more and more and more, well, then we're on the right path of blessing for God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not trying to discount that God doesn't want to comfort us through his mercy. But that's the baby Christians, an adult Christian, a knight for Christ. A person that is going to battle for the Lord has to expect wounds, mm-hmm. But he's an overcomer. But let me read something to you. If children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if it be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So I constantly see, especially this week, there's a suffering vein into our Christianity. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time, this is important, are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is saying something here, and it's in Romans. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. That gets a little confusing. I won't get into that. Because the creature itself shall also be delivered unto the bondage of corruption and to the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole, here it comes. For we know that the whole creation groaneth. I mean, we're talking about creation is groaning.
Mm-hmm.
You can get into the Big Bang Theory. You can get into the fact that the universe is having havoc within itself. We know that asteroids hit Earth, hit other planets, do destruction. That's part of this groaning. And travaileth in pain together until now, the whole creation. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body.
I think it says in Scripture also the moaning comes from the martyrs. You mentioned that before, who are under the great altar, and they're waiting for God to avenge their blood. So the same moaning is that we have to go through is also being experienced by the martyrs in heaven.
The redemption of our body. Good point, Frank. The redemption of our body, for we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. So when you see all these increases of so-called Christianity in our country, is that a reflection of the fact that all is well? I don't think so. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he hope for? If it's there, what are you hoping for? And we're saved by hope. It says so. For we are saved by hope. But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we're hoping for a better thing in our lives, in our spirits, in our Christianity. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And here we go, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. And that would be also Christ in us. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. We don't know what to pray for. So all these do-gooder, blinky-eyed presentations, what are you talking about? You don't really know yourself. So what are you preaching to others, thousands of others, to follow you and your thinking and your philosophy. I will not call it Christian philosophy. I'll just call it philosophy. But if we hope for that what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. And if that's for people out there that are listening now that are hurting somewhere, they're in pain, they probably are checking, well, what did I do wrong? You know, why did I do this? Why did I do that? You know, I'm not talking about accidents that the enemy is involved in that causes us, persecutes us because of dreadful mistakes we do in life. But if we know not what we should pray for, we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession.
Well, the Holy Spirit is the comforter.
And he called it that.
Mm-hmm.
That we should expect this type of, if we are children of Christ. We need to expect. The Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And why can't we utter them? Because we don't know. If we knew what the Holy Spirit was, we could utter it. We could share it. But in our lives, we don't know half the reasons why the body fails, certain things happen. Most people have a negative attitude towards this and say, well, I must be a very sinful person. And that's not necessarily the case. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Isn't that an interesting statement?
Mm-hmm.
Because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Wow. God lets it happen. He doesn't give us the answer. But we know that he's doing intercession because it's the will. It's his will. In other words, the saints in heaven, the Blessed Mother, who are interceding for us. You see, that's where the Protestants and the Protestants got it all wrong. I'm repeating it out there. You've got it all wrong. You say, well, she can't intercede. We don't need her. Yes, you do. There are intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. Somebody has to make that intercession. And here it is. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know you can't search a heart, because no man sees another man's heart. So there it is.
You know, if the Holy Spirit is really revealing things today, I really believe in my heart, when Christ said, forgive them, they know not what they do, Mary was at the foot of that cross interceding for the people just like Christ was. So if she was interceding for those people there, which I believe she was on her knees doing, we sure enough can ask for intercession now.
Let me repeat this. And he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Holy Spirit. Wow. That is a revealing statement that I've never really ever seen before, understood with the intensity, because I had to go through, not only a conviction, but a mind-boggling pain that lasted for a week, and I questioned it. Well, listen, anybody can look for the sin in their life. It's there daily.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it changes faces. Sometimes we get rid of one, and here comes another, because we sin daily.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, if you feel vindictive towards yourself, like sometimes I erroneously do, I always look into my failure as a human being and as a bishop, and I don't realize that I can't even judge myself, and I shouldn't. I look into myself, I intercede, I know where I need to confess, I know I need to go to my communion, I know that what I need to do, I need to have that prayer in my life, but I also know that the mind of the Spirit is who knoweth the hearts. And because he maketh intercessions for the saints, because it is the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's the beautiful statement here, that it's God's will that that happens, that we don't endure that pain forever, that we, though we are part of the creation that groaneth constantly and travaileth in pain. I mean, it doesn't say, and travaileth in goodness and blessing, in pain together until now, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Isn't that what Christ did on the cross? It mm-hmm. wasn't just for the sin. It was part of this groaning, and he had to go through, which he knows we have to go through in order to go through that threshold mm-hmm. of being a baby Christian and becoming an adult Christian and realize that you can expect to endure persecution for Christ. You can expect it and delight in it and pray for it and be thankful for it. And then, of course, be rewarded for it. You know, I'm prompted to ask an ultimate question. Are you ready to endure persecution out there for Christ's sake? Most people will say, are you kidding me? And yet, if you read the scriptures, St. Paul telling his disciple Timothy in no uncertain terms that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer, in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read that. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Now, you know, one might wonder or not whether this assertion of St. Paul was a novelty for Christ's followers. The answer is beyond the shadow of doubt. Not at all, because Christ himself told his disciples, that is, all of his followers, to the end of this side of eternity, remember the word that I said unto you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. Very interesting, isn't it? Yet Christ went a step further to predict persecution for his followers when he said, they will put you out of the synagogue. Yes, the time is coming that whosoever kills you will think that he offers God service. Yes, we can repeat that, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
I guess the greatest example of that would be the Apostle St. Paul. You know, we all suffer the physical pains, and we all ask for a limited pain. And St. Paul did. He asked 3 times for his thorn to be released, and Christ said, know that my strength is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So through our weakness, just like you say, the power of the Holy Spirit, we get strength, and we derive strength for that to keep going and persevering and pressing on through this life.
And even with all this happening in this world today, as we see destruction, wars, is not our creation, planet Earth, groaning for peace? And, of course, we know the Antichrist is going to promise that. And the Antichristos, I'm not going to call him Antichrist. The non-Protestant way of pronouncing it is Andi. That's the Greek, Antichristos, instead of Christ, a substitute. Somebody like Barack Obama. Who could be a perfect Messiah-oriented person. Even in the news already, he's the new Messiah coming down the pike in politics.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not going to get into politics, nor am I condemning Osama Hussein Barack Obama. For whom he did foreknow, I want to read the part that's my favorite passage. And we know that all things, I love that word, all things, work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called, And I'm sure that's the anointed and the ordained according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. So Christ knows at the moment of your life, or even before for that matter, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did, and he did what? He predestinated them. He also called them. And whom he called them, he also justified. And whom he justified them, he also glorified. And that is beautiful to me, to know that God's there regardless of our understanding, even before our growth to Christian maturity. And what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spareth not his own son, but delivereth him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Frank, who shall separate us from the love of Christ?
The only one that can separate us from the love of Christ are ourselves.
Shall tribulation? No. Distress? No. Even though Christ promises persecution, No. Famine? No. So for those people in Africa that are going through all that injustice, they're not left out of it. We know Omaroka, Charles Omaroka, a very wonderful evangelist, started Five Nations, the largest church, the largest cathedral, built it with their own hands in Black Africa, right in Kenya. Of course, we've had a St. Michael Academy in Ghana has had ministry with Joseph and Thou, St. Mm-hmm. Michael Academy, for years now. We've supported him. Let me finish this because it's so beautiful. Who should separate us? Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. As it is written, these words are severe. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. This is St. Paul talking. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Where are those brave knights out there that saved Christianity against the Ottoman Empire and the Muslim attacks that happened when they came into Europe from Africa? Where are they? That you talk about a Pollyanna Christianity that's going on today. We're wussies, sissies, puppies, babies, crybabies. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. See, through Christ, we can overcome all this and conquer it. And I love these words of St. Paul. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Aren't those dynamic words?
Yeah, that's a beautiful conviction from a person that was a non-believer to be totally turned around, knocked off his horse in Damascus, eyes taken and revealed by Christ, 3 years in the desert. That's a man who I understand wanted to be in heaven, but he knew he had a job here, just like we have a job here, suffering those persecutions to get the job done for Christ.
You know, the words of in the Greek are omologitoi, ologio, I pronounce it properly, omologitoi, and it says this about faith. Unto the third century, we know in the church the word meant those, martyros meant one who gives witness, martyros, that's a witness, who gives witness. Unto the third century, the word meant those who had suffered for the faith and those who had died for it. Yet by the fourth century, Frank, the term meant only those who died for the faith. Those who suffered for the faith but haven't died for it started to be called confessors, or omologitoi. Yes, here comes what Christ said, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like saying, you know, Protestants, what's going on out there? You know, if you believe in the name of Christ, but, you know, that's it. My gosh, there's more to the calling than just believing on the name of Christ. It's following him. Mm-hmm. And if you follow, here, it's ABC. And if you follow him, there's persecution. And if there's persecution, even unto death, you have a price you'll be paying. You have to be suffer with Christ to be risen with Christ. Mm-hmm. Do you see how they've watered down Christianity since the 1500th century? The Reformers did a horrible job of following what really the church had said early. You know, St. Paul contrasts his loyal disciple Timothy's behavior with the behavior of heretics who are on a devilish mission to wreck the early church. Then the great apostle points out, what made Timothy his loyal disciple? First, he mentions his duties as an apostle, and then he mentions teaching. No one can teach what he does not know, but before one can teach Christ to others, he must know Christ himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad to me that we have been taken down the primrose path in Christianity in this country, and we only expect to see blessings. There's no persecution individually, and it really doesn't have anything to do with whether you're a U.S. citizen. Are you a Christian citizen? Are you a citizen bound for heaven? Have you realized persecution? Those of you out there that are hearing this today, have you been persecuted? Have you been hurt? Do you have infirmities? Have you tried desperately to overcome the worst part of your sinful life? Have you been wounded? To me, the great warriors of the chivalry, of which I belong to one, the Byzantine Order of the Holy Sepulchre, which is in Malta, and of course the cross of St. Gregory, which I hold dear to my heart because it was given to me by the recommendation of Cardinal Sardano, the Secretary of State, the former Secretary of State of the Vatican. It's given to me because it says here that awards of this order are usually made on recommendations by bishops, you know, and I'm not even Catholic, unlike membership of the military orders in Malta, which is the Holy Sepulchre, which I receive because I am an Orthodox archbishop. And the highest rank, the Grand Cross, is an exceptional award, and there's been less than 8 U.S. citizens that have received this honor in the past 22 years. And I'm just honored, and I'm not bragging for those that are listening. It just, it overwhelms me. I feel though it's coming from Christ himself through the hands of the Pope, or certainly through the hands of Cardinal Sardano, who was the Secretary of State. And he was a Cardinal, Secretary of State, Cardinal Sardano. And it says that someone that is, took an individual's particular meritorious service to the Church. It's almost an order that was given to me saying, we like what you want here, that we like what you're aiming for, unity. And that's probably why I pick on you Protestants out there. You got to come in out of the rain, okay? We got to come together and believe the truth as it was presented in the beginning. And that's what this program's all about. And I hope that if anyone wants a copy of this program, I'll be glad to send it to them free of charge. Brothers and sisters in Christ, I come here every week for a reason. To share with you things I think you need to know, not because I believe I want you to know it, but I believe in my heart dearly that our Lord God, Savior, wants you to know it. And if things happened that weren't written in the book to the apostles in the first church, can't we believe that many, many things happening today aren't explained in Scripture? And Frank, I thank you very much for being with me today. God bless you.
You're welcome.
And,
I enjoyed being here.
I know I talked a little more than you, but you certainly helped me, and you certainly pray and intercede for me as you sit in your chair. And Elisa, thank you for being here, our producer. And God bless you out there. Let me say it. I got a few seconds left. I love you. God loves you. I hope you love God. And in loving God, I hope you have a little love for me. And I do give you my apostolic blessing as a bishop. For those that are listening and believe the true word of God, I thank you. God bless you. God bless you. I love you.
Bishop Hare Lambos has spoken as a Knight of Malta in the Byzantine Order of the Holy Sepulchre and has spoken from his opinions.